Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the word we're about to receive. Father, we pray, Lord, that you will open our hearts, Lord, to hear what you are saying to us. Lord, we pray for your Holy Spirit to come and just make it all make sense. Lord, we thank you. Amen.
Amen. Yes, Father, I've got the time, Mike. Good. It's a bit weird preaching from up here. I almost feel like maybe I should come down there, but I'll... Baptistry's in the way, so I'm going to like bash into it. But I'll sit up here so you can all see me. As I said, we're trying it round this way, so we'll see if we like it. It was great to hear everyone singing this morning. You could really hear, which was good. We're having our baptisms, and so I thought it would be good for me to speak a little bit about baptism, what the point of it is, why we dunk people in Terry and Hannah's dodgy pool, which is leaking. Look, it's leaking all around there. He bought it in, he was like, oh yeah, I forgot it's got a hole in it. so I came in at like 10 o'clock last night just to check that it wasn't like the floor. We weren't going to be like splashing people for Jesus rather than baptising them. But I suppose I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you a question to start with. What do you want? What do you want? Right? Do you want... I mean, I came in and we're going to pray in a bit. We're going to pray for Margaret. Margaret had a fall this week, didn't you, Margaret? Right, and so you're not feeling very well. Margaret wants healing. So we're going to pray that God brings healing to Margaret, right? Maybe what you want is peace. Maybe your life has been characterized by just stress and anguish and irritation, and you just want peace. You want your mind to calm down. I mean, often some of the people I talk to, they're just like, I just want my mind to be calm. Maybe you want reconciliation. Maybe you've split up with, you know, your family as you're separated from your family, and what you desperately want is reconciliation with somebody. Or more than just one person. Maybe what you want is forgiveness. You know that in your life you've made mistakes, you've done things wrong, you've let people down, you've really sinned. And what you desperately want is forgiveness. Some people are just looking for love. They just want love. Some people just so desperately want to know that they are loved. Some people are looking for freedom. They're just tied up with addictions and problems and things they can't stop doing. They know that's bad that they keep doing it. They just can't stop, all right? And there's just this sense of there's no freedom in my life. I'm not free to do what I want to do and what I need to do. I keep getting caught back into the same old things. Maybe what you're looking for is respect. You just want people to respect you, just to take you seriously. I want to say this is a universal human truth. We're all looking for something, aren't we? We're all looking for something. And it varies, sometimes it changes from season to season, from time to time. But as human beings, we are never ever satisfied outside of God. We're just not. We're always looking for something. And I suppose my testimony, right, is that I realised that if it was left to my own devices, I would spend my entire life working to be at the top of the ladder. That's what I would spend my life doing, trying to be the best, trying to be the one with the most amount of respect, trying to be the one that everybody looks to, the one that people know my name and I'm special and all this. That would be my... Pat said to me, you're ambitious. Do you remember that? A couple of weeks ago, Pat was saying, you know, you're an ambitious individual, and I am. And outside of God, I'm looking for that. And I want to ask you the question this morning, what are you looking for? And I'm not just talking about if you've never believed in Jesus. I'm telling you, as Christians this morning, we're looking for something. As some of you may know, I've got a slightly poor stomach at the moment. I am praying that God would heal my stomach. I want God to do something for me, right? And there's nothing wrong with that, as we're going to see, right? And I want to say to you this morning, I believe God is here to meet your needs. Do you believe that? Because I believe that, because that's been my testimony over year after year after year. And you might think to yourself, oh yeah, but you know, I'm not important, I'm not special, God's not interested in me. I want to tell you that's a lie. God is interested in you. And he's totally interested in me. And as we're going to see, God wants to give us what it is that we need, what it is we're asking for. But you see, the first thing we need to realise is that so often we are looking in all the wrong places. And society, the world, we sometimes say in Christian terms, we use the phrase the world, right? But that just means, you know, society, you know, the culture we live in, the things that we exist, the media, blah, 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 right? They offer endless solutions to fill the hole. endless solutions to fill up what you're lacking. So that thing you need, right, whether it's peace, whether it's freedom from, you know, some kind of addiction, whether it's love, let me tell you, there are 101 things that you can find that will attempt or pretend to or sell you the lie that it'll work. Right? So maybe it's just distractions. Right? Maybe your way of getting out of the noise inside your head is to put the TV on and to watch endless hours of something. Right? If I'm feeling stressed, right, I will turn on the cricket. Right? And I can watch, you think cricket is a day that, a sport that lasts 5 days. I'm telling you, I could waste 5 days watching cricket, right? And still be unsatisfied at the end of it, right? It might be, you know, your gym membership, right? Like Jimmy, right, with his gym membership, right? It's in his pictures, right? But, you know, if you're not, the world says have this, have that. I'm going to distract you from the noise by getting you involved in this. For some of you, it might be that the solution, you think the solution is in the professionals. If I go to a therapist or a doctor or a professional, they'll fix me. They'll fix the unfixable, right? Right. If I go to a doctor, let me ask you a question, Holly. Right? Holly said this morning, right? Fix the unfixable, right? In all the years, did any professional ever fix you? No. No professional. They can help. Don't get me wrong. Professionals help. They can help. I'm not saying that you don't go to a therapist or a doctor, all that kind of stuff, right? But in the end, it doesn't fill it. Right, what about freedom in six? Maybe you think, right, do you know what I need? I need more success. If I get more success, if I can get that next promotion, if I can get that car, if I can get that thing that I want, that I need, then I'll have it. And let me tell you, for somebody of my age, I've done quite a lot. And I tell you what, every time I've got to the next goalpost, or to the next flag, to the next marker point, I'm not satisfied. All I want is the next thing, or the next thing after that. Anyone else got that experience? Yeah? Right, you've had the job, you've had the money, it doesn't fill you up, does it? Right? What about relationships? Some people put all of their hope in a relationship. In relationships, whether it's with a partner or whether it's with a family member. But if you're looking, if you're putting all your hope in a relationship, it's an awful lot of pressure to put on that poor other person, isn't it? It's a lot of pressure to put on somebody else. Because you're basically saying, it's all on you. Mark, you know, my friendship with you is what holds me together, right? It's what fulfills me. If I can just be friends with Mark, right, then I will be fulfilled. You know, if I can have, you know, a girlfriend or a boyfriend, if I can have that relationship, then I'll be fulfilled. I'm telling you for now, I've been married 17 years. Doesn't. I love my wife, but it hasn't fulfilled me. It hasn't taken all the things that I've needed. In the right way, all right, Sally. For some people, the way that they drown it out is they just, I've come across this phrase quite a lot, just drowning out the noise. The noise in their head. There's so much noise in my head. That feeling, just that sense of just the pressure. And so that's why people give in to drugs. It's why they overeat. It's why they self-harm. It's why men and women do pornography. Anything to just stop the noise. And I want to tell you, whatever you're seeking for, there is an answer for you out there. Millions of answers that you can find. And I tell you this, 100% guaranteed, not one of them will satisfy the way Jesus does. Not one of them will fulfill you in a way that's sustainable. Right? In a way that actually lasts or means anything. Right? And so this morning, the reason we're baptizing people and what you're going to hear from their testimony is I tried loads of other stuff and I realized only one person has ever really satisfied that gnawing within my soul. And that's why we're going to talk about baptism this morning. And I want us, if we can, to turn to Luke chapter 11, verses 9 to 13. This is an odd scripture to use at a baptism, possibly. But I really felt God had said that I should speak on this. Luke chapter 11, verses 9 to 13, right? And I'll read it to you, right? It says, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives. And to he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, and this is the key line, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is Jesus talking, right? And Jesus saying, if you ask, you'll get it. If you seek it, you'll find it. If you knock on the door, it will be opened to you. And I think it's just that simple. It is really that simple. Right? And I want to promise you that if whatever you're looking for, I'm promising you, I'll put my life on the line for it, that you will find it in Jesus. Right? If you're looking for peace this morning, if you ask God to bring you peace, he will bring you peace. Amen? Amen. If you're looking for love this morning, right, if you seek it in God, you will find it. Amen? Amen. Those of us that have been Christians should shout louder than that, right? Because that's the truth, right? If you're looking for freedom, right, and you're knocking on the door and saying, I need to be free, Jesus will set you free. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. This is the truth, right? And I want to say, so Margaret, you want to be prayed that God would heal you. We're going to ask for that this morning, and I believe that God will give it to us. Because that's what God is. Right, and so God uses, Jesus uses this really slightly odd example, basically, right? Christmas is coming up, right? I don't know what your kids want for Christmas. My kids inevitably want some form of technology, Xbox, PlayStation, Nintendo Switch. They've got those, they've got one or two of those, but they always want more, right? But how many, you know, so you've got your child comes to you and says, Daddy, what I want is an Xbox. And what you say is, oh no, here you go, son, here is a rock from the garden. Wouldn't do it, would you? Even the worst parents among us would not do that, right? What about this? You'd say, okay, right, I want, you know, your son comes, she says, you know, or your daughter, I haven't got girls, so I've got no idea what girls want, but let's just go with what a girl want. One, please can I have a dolly, right, a Barbie, right? And you say, oh, that's lovely, daughter. Here's, instead, what I'm going to give you instead is a lump of coal. Or here's an, you know, it's just ridiculous. Or like, you know, oh, can I have a cat for Christmas? Yeah, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a full-grown tiger, right? It's like, that's the example, isn't it? Give you a scorpion. Something's going to hurt you, right? And this is the example Jesus is doing. He's saying, if you, being ordinary human beings, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does God, who's the Father, our Heavenly Father, want to give us what it is that we need? What is it you need this morning? What is it you want from God? I'm saying this not just to people that have never heard about Jesus before, but if you've heard, Ruby's our oldest member, so we like picking on Ruby, right? Ruby's been a Christian for, what, I don't know, 75 years, something like that, right? Okay, Ruby, there's still things that God wants to give to you. There's still things the Lord wants to give to you because he's a good father. He's a good, I could jump into that song, he's a good, good father. It's true. It's true. And that is this morning what God offers. But this is what God offers, right? And you see it in this verse, right? What does it say? How much more will your Heavenly Father give what? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what God's gift to us is. It's we sang it. Can you put the words of that song up? It's wonderful, right? Okay, because it's like a brilliant song to sing about baptism, this song. It's like, this is the Christian life. It's wonderful what God has done, right? We stick that up on the screen. There we are. Not that one. Yeah. It's wonderful what God has done. Eternal life is in his Son. And by his Holy Spirit free, he's come to live his life in me. And that is the gift that God offers you. Because God doesn't offer you just sort of some little solution to your problem that lasts temporarily. What he gives you is himself. He says, I have come to pour myself into you. Right? And that's how the unfixable gets fixed. That's how the fact that you were never satisfied is now fulfilled. Because God himself comes to live within us. And I believe that there is something amazingly powerful about those people that receive the Holy Spirit. They're different type of people. They're the kind of people that when the storm is blowing, they can still be calm. They're the kind of people that when, you know, their world falls apart, they're still solid. Right? They're the kind of people that have joy in every moment. Right? And I think it's incredible. That is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Not only does it come to fill us, it comes to change us. The Holy Spirit changes us. It changes the very nature of us. Does that sound scary? right? I know for some people that is, but the Holy Spirit changes. Things that we thought we needed, that were absolutely essential to us, all of a sudden don't seem quite so important anymore. That thing that I needed so badly just doesn't seem very important anymore. I'm completely changed. And the Holy Spirit comes and satisfies us. And you might be thinking this morning, and I'd understand it if you were, I'm not good enough for this. Surely I am not good enough to receive God. Surely I'm not good enough that God really wants to heal me, or God really wants to give me what I want. I've made too many mistakes, and maybe God will let me in. I love this. Right? Maybe a lot of us think that God will let us in and that we can sit in one of those chairs over there. You know, those side chairs where nobody can notice us, or we hide at the back where Debbie is, right? Okay, and maybe God will kind of let us sit in the back. God says, come. Come right in. You are my child. You are my son. You are my daughter. You are not here because of how good you are or how good you have not been. You're here because I love you, and I'm going to fill you with my Holy Spirit because that's what I want to do. And that's what's going to happen this morning. When we baptize people, they're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we believe. And their life will be from that point on, will be a flow of something totally different and totally new. Amen? And this is why we come to believe in baptism, right? You might think, well, what's the Holy Spirit got to do with baptism per se? Well, being baptized, right, I think there are four things to being mature in Jesus, right? I think you need to have faith in Jesus. You need to say, yes, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died. I believe you rose again. I believe you're coming back again, right? You have to have faith in God, faith that I put my hope, my trust in Jesus. The second thing you need to do is you need to repent. You need to say, do you know what? I realise that I've made mistakes in my life, that I am not a good person. However hard I've tried, I've realised I'm just not that good a person. And I'm sorry, God, that I've let you down. And then I believe that this is what's really important, is that then we have this water baptism. Right? And water baptism leads to, I believe, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? And I'll tell you why. I think that being baptised is a little bit like getting married. Being baptised is a little bit like getting married. Right? Didn't think you were getting married this morning, did you, Roxanne? Right? No? Okay. Right? But I've been married for 17 years, happily. Right? Just checking she heard that. Right? I've been married for 17 years now. Right? Has anyone seen, I don't know, please don't put your hand up because I'll judge you if you say yes, right? Has anybody seen Married at First Sight, right? I know that probably Ruby's been watching that, right? Okay, but it's a ridiculous program, I'm sure. I've never watched it, but the concept's ridiculous, right? The idea is apparently that the first time you see your partner is as they're walking down the aisle, right? And you get married the first time you see each other, right? It's a complete joke. What does it say about marriage? It says that marriage is nothing more than, it's a meaningless institution, really, doesn't it? Because, you know, they can... Right, but when I got married, right, I met my wife, and I discovered that I loved my wife. And then I realised that actually I wanted to make a commitment to my wife. And then came the wedding day. And the wedding day is the point where there's almost like this word, it's an old word, but it's like this word called consummation. And it's like the joining together of two people in marriage, right? There's something happens. It isn't just like, you know, we have a nice party, but something happens, right? Your name changes probably, right? And you say vows and you say, I'm going to commit to this person for the rest of my life. Something happens in that moment for any of us that have been married, right? It's a significant moment, right? And so we knew we loved someone, we knew we were ready for them, and then in the moment of the wedding, that something happened. And that's what happens in baptism. You know you love Jesus. You know you want to follow him. You know you're ready for him. And in baptism, it's like the wedding moment. But have you ever thought that weddings are a little bit like funerals? My wedding was like a funeral, right? It wasn't really. Yeah? But, you know, you're at a funeral, right? Really, it's you're dead, aren't you? Right? It's a celebration of your death. Right? When I got married, it was a celebration of my death. Right? In a good way, right? In a good way. Because really what I'm saying is I'm choosing to die to my old independent life. And I've got a new life with my wife. It says, doesn't it, two become one. It says, who gives this mother, who, you know, that phrase, who gives away this woman? And it's almost like you change. I'm no longer, right, part of my old family, I'm part of my new family. Right? I've changed. Something actually happens in that moment. And that's what happens when you get baptized. It's like you sort of say, do you know what? Right, the reason that we have this pool like this, and I'm hopefully not going to fall into it, right? Okay, is it? This is like a coffin, right? It's going to be, this is getting weirder and weirder, isn't it? All right, okay, all right. Tim's just going off and being weird. This is like a coffin. It's like a spiritual coffin. And what you're saying, right, is that my old me, Donna Diamond, as I was, dies. When I go under that, I am dead, and when I rise, I am a new person. I've cut off from the old person. That's been dealt with because Jesus died, right, and he rose again, and so he dies in me, and I rise with him. That's what the Bible says. And that's why, and do you know, in the New Testament, baptism is mentioned 31 times in the New Testament. In nearly every occasion, it's not about what we do for God, it's about what God does for us in that moment. You see, we believe that when you get baptized, it's not just a wet witness, yeah? Right? I'm not just witnessing that I've got wet. I am witnessing. It is so much more than that. God does something powerful in people at that moment. I can testify that I was, you know, a few weeks ago I showed you my school reports, didn't I? Right? Right? There was a change. I got baptized about 13 or 14, right? And I tell you what, I believed in Jesus when I was about 10, really. And at 13 or 14, I got baptized and I received the Holy Spirit. And from that point, my life really did begin to change. And that's my story. Is that this is not just get wet, get up and get, you know, get right, everyone claps, hey, well done, that's nice, tick the box. Right? I believe that when you go down and you come back up again and we pray for you, we believe that you will receive and be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that empowers you to live in a completely different way. The Holy Spirit that will be with you in every moment. The Holy Spirit, you see, you think, oh, I've got to stay strong through the hard times. It's not you that stay strong through the hard times, is it? It's the Holy Spirit. And you think, I don't know how I've managed to get through this. And you realize it wasn't you all along. Who's seen that rather cheesy, but the older I get, the more I think it's truth. The footprints in the sand poem. Yeah. Right? We all seen the footprints in the sand poem. Right? Basically, like, there's this poem and it says there were two footsteps walking along in the sand together. And it was someone looking back on their life. And they said, but when it got hard, I only saw one set of footprints. Where were you, God, when I was in my most difficult parts? And it says, that was the point when I carried you. And you know, that's the story of my life, right? Is that God has carried me again and again and again through the hardest points. And it's not me, it's no longer I that live, but Christ Jesus that lives in me. And that's what this means. That's why it's not just, you know, tick the box and get over it. This is about power to change your life. This is real. It's been real in me. And so this morning, we're going to, before we jump straight into baptism, we're actually going to have a time of prayer, right? And I want to pray for Margaret, and I want to say to you, if you're asking, do you need to receive something this morning? And we'd love to pray for you. I don't care if we run on to 1 o'clock, right? Yeah, we'll keep going this morning because I believe the Lord is here. The Lord is here to move and to minister in his people, right? And just before I do, actually, before we do that, I'd like to, we never actually, Sonny and Holly got baptized in the middle of lockdown. Right, and we did it in a bath in the dark because their light wasn't working. Right, okay, and I've got a video which we'll send you at some point. Right, okay, but I'd like to, we have actually never heard Sonny tell his story. Right, a little bit, or keep it short, Sonny. Yeah, all right, okay, all right. It's a long story, but I think Sonny has been saying, even this week was talking, weren't you? And you were saying it was your baptism was the point. So where's the microphone gone? Do you want to come and just tell your story a little bit about what's changed since you got baptised? Because you might just think Tim's making this up, right? But I'm not. Go on, Sonny.
I'll do a little rap first.
Yeah, give him a round of applause. He deserves it. Take it away.
Yeah, so obviously, for those of you that know, I've not been a Christian all my life. I come to church about 2.5 years ago, what was it, 18 months, 2 years ago. And at that time, me and Holly was going through a really hard time. So Holly was suffering with mental health, and it was really bad. And we both come, and we both started to really take it in. But in the middle of it, things got worse. And me and Holly had a bit of a breakup in our relationship, and I continued to come to church. So did Holly. We continued to still battle through it. And then what happened was is it basically just like I felt different, but I hadn't been baptized yet. I started to feel the grace of God. I started to feel that I weren't angry about. I weren't angry about the situation. The old me, so prior me, would have, I don't know, gone on a drinking spree. I suffered with addiction. I suffered with fighting. I used to love a fight. I used to love tearing up. I'll say it how it is. I'll say it real. I was a bit of a naughty boy, basically. Holly will tell you. She's sitting there looking at me like, don't say too much. But I was a nightmare basically. And then when we started to come, I started to change instantly. I did start to change. But what Tim was saying about getting baptized is so real, because me and Holly got back together and Tim continued to coach through everything that had gone wrong, the bad stuff that I had done, which was pretty much what Tim was saying. I constantly chased the next thing. So whether I was addicted to drugs at one point, which I was when I was younger, I come away from that, and then I got addicted to money. Like, I chased money left, right and centre. It didn't stop. But then when we started to come to church, things started to change in me. And Tim come around my house one day, and we was going through struggles. And me and Holly both decided to get baptised. So we got coached for it for a little while. But what really happened to me at that point after getting baptised was, I can't even explain it myself. It isn't myself doing the work 100%. And what Tim was saying, you get like a 360 degree flip in your personality. And now I think about everything I'm doing. I'm slower in my work. I don't feel like I need the money. I don't feel like I need to chase nothing anymore. I'm not bothered by anything anymore. I've got like peace all of the time. If me and Holly, even if we were about to have an argument or something, I'm like, before I'd fly off the handle. That's my personality. And now I'm like, right, I'll put the phone down. Well, I'll call you back in 5 minutes. So it's like everything now is done in the process of Jesus and in God's grace. And it changes you completely. So to get baptized is when you really, really start to change, but without recognizing you're changing. It happens from inside. You think about everything differently. Just in every way, shape and form. I can't actually stand here and explain completely how much you change. It's without knowing you're changing, and people notice the change in you before you do. Baptism is by far the best thing that has ever happened in my life, and that's for me and Holly. And me and Holly are on the change in Holly, 360 degrees change. Holly was erratic all of the time. We didn't think about money before. It was like we're going on holiday, we'd spend. Everything was done on a flick, and it was done there and then. And now we just completely and utterly think about everything we do. And I believe it's brought our marriage. Jesus is in our marriage. He's in our marriage. He's with us all of the time, in every single step of the way. And it's helped us 1,000,000,000%. Mm. So amen to that. And that's pretty much my story.
Mm. Amen.
Amen. Well, we'll stop there. Now, if you do want to be prayed for and you didn't take the opportunity, we'll hang around afterwards. We always want to have a chance to chat and pray with you. And we are obviously having some more baptisms later on now, aren't we? I think 16th of January. So if you're, if you'd like to get baptised, you're not getting baptised today, we'd like, really like to encourage you to just come and speak to us, and we can talk about doing it then. So that's really positive. I think we're going to be getting the kids back in now. Is that right? Should we do the testimonies first? Okay. All right. Super. We're going to get the kids in for the testimonies. We want them to hear what God's doing, right? Amen. Do we know what, do you know what order we're going in? Anyone want to go first?
Go with
Ali. Do you want to go first, Ali? Not really. Donna. Donna, you'll be great. We'd love to hear. We'll wait for the kids to come back, so you've got a few minutes. So if you haven't got a very good view from the back there and you want to try and come forward or come to the side, or stand on your chairs or whatever you want to do, we can do that. Okay, so if everyone's got a seat, I'd like to give a massive round of applause for Donna. Woo! Come on, Donna. Can I ask Donna to share her testimony of what God's done for her?
Hello everyone. I joined the church, I don't remember, maybe 3-4 years ago. I left the church twice because of especially on the one person, I just becoming different person, you know. I believe it, but I don't believe it on the best times. And I want everybody to be my friends. Through the lockdown, I learned a lot. Probably how to pray to the God. Before, I only pray on the evenings and to say, okay, on whatever I like, I need some things. But I've met someone who tried to, and the people tried to away from me, and they wasn't understand that why. And when I go join on the home groups, there was on the psalm, they said, sometimes, I think Psalm 84, they said, the people coming and the people going.
Okay, Psalm 84.
84, I think, yeah. So I understand that. By the way, the people try to put me to the different things. I don't want to tell the name. Especially one person tried to put me and encourage if I take it. The drugs, I feel better. So I didn't agree with him, so I check away. I don't want to do anything, and I close myself. And the only the one person who is the very good person for me, never let me down, always been for me, it was Ruth. Oh, yeah. Ruth encouraged me, never judged me. Ruth is always try to support me and let me understand the God, understand the Jesus, never gave it up to me, especially on the last time. I thank you very much, Ruth. I know it was very hard, but now when I try to pray, the God is touching me, because that go. Sometimes I wake up at 2 o'clock in the mornings and they want to sing the songs.
Amen.
I just don't know. Just say, I know this song, but I just asked Ruth one day, so I just say, you know, I know this song, but I don't know the words. And the Ruth has helped me to find the best one, you know, the song, and to try to encourage me. So when I'm going to meet you, before when I meet you, before, and I just say, I'm shaking, but I just said, I talk to the God, and everything went down, everywhere, and I'm happy, because the God is touching me every day. So when I pray for my son, if he got to work or if he got another job, he got it.
Amen.
It's like you remember Simon, not everybody remembers Simon.
Yeah.
And Simon, when I talked to the Simon said, why the God is answer me? I just say, you know, it was the very, before I couldn't explain, but what is coming, you can pray to Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit delivered to Jesus. And Jesus believed to God. Not all the times their prayers is answered as you like it to be answered, but the answer on the right, well, I'm becoming patient, I'm becoming understanding what is being, and I'm not becoming worried anymore. Because
fantastic. Yes.
I've got a God around me, I got somebody, I'm not on my own. And if I don't know any problems, long time ago, I probably, you know it because I repeated myself, long time ago, it was someone who told me, don't worry, just if you worry, imagine Jesus on the cross and put all the worry, all the troubles in the wooden box and offer it to Jesus. And for 2 years, 3 years, I couldn't know it how. I couldn't imagine. But it took me very long time. And now, if I'm worried or if I have anything, I can give it to the Jesus giving the box.
Amen. Amen.
So never give up. So,
thanks, Donna. That's fantastic. And just great to see how Ruth's been showing the love of Jesus to Donna over a period of time. So well done. Right. We're going to invite Ali up next. Big round of applause for Ali. You're answering questions. Who's asking the questions? Is it Tim?
I said I'd ask Ali some questions, so it's good. So Ali, we've known each other a long time now, haven't we? Quite a long time. So obviously, yeah, there was a long period of in your life before you ever met me. Do you want to tell us a little bit about, you know, who you are and your story and what you were like really before you met Jesus?
I was brought up to go to church, but it was very, very strict and it was all sort of hell and damnation. I never heard of Jesus. It was, you know, God coming in flames and fire and very, very rigid. So I didn't know anything at all about Jesus, you know, and his love for us. It was also an abusive family. And so I grew up kind of very angry, very cynical, very disrespecting the church, didn't want to know, not interested. And that went on for years and years and years. And then one day I was out for a walk on a Sunday and I just happened to walk past River Church. I didn't know there's a church here. And I think it was not long after they got the outside banners. So then I realised that it was a church. And totally on a whim, I just kind of thought, oh, well, I'll just go and be nosy one week and just, you know, sit at the back, leave early. Just to find out what's going on, just totally spontaneous. So over the next couple of weeks, I came, did as I say, I sat in the back, came late, left early, was just like, oh yeah, right, okay, this is for others, sounds good, these people seem all right, but not for me. But something just kept drawing me back. And then one time I came in and I was completely thrown because there were no seats in the back, which totally threw me. And then Ruth stood up and waved and said, oh, there's a seat here. Didn't know Ruth from Adam. I didn't know anybody in the church. And the difficulty was that she was actually sitting fairly near the front. So I was just too embarrassed to walk out. So I went and sat by Ruth, kind of fuming really, because I thought I can't get up and leave early now because I'm going to have to ask loads of people to get out the way. So stayed for the whole service and then started chatting, you know, to Ruth after, and then started to feel that, you know, these people were very, very genuine and very real, and very quickly became aware that they had something that I most definitely didn't. And they were talking about Jesus and forgiveness and love. Never heard any of this before, so it's totally new territory. And it was compelling, and I kept coming back and coming back. Every week I was saying, no, I'm not going to bother now. You know, that's it, I've done that bit. You know, that's over. Still kept coming back, and over time just really realised that you know, Jesus is real. He died on the cross for us, and that includes for me, which has completely did my head in, but took me a while, but I gradually kind of, the idea started to make sense. And then I started to come for myself, and I could see the difference you made in other people's lives, and I just wanted much, much more of it. Sort of when I was all being very rebellious, I got into all sorts of wrong stuff and addictions, many of which sort of I'm still fighting today, but now I've actually got somebody on my side. And it's not easy, obviously, but I know that every time I muck up, that Jesus is there, God is there, and they're forgiving, and they never give up on loving me. And however many times I think, oops, done it again, messed up yet again, you know, come back and offer and ask for forgiveness, and every time that forgiveness is given, and every time people haven't judged me, they've accepted me, and over time I've just learned that that's what God does. He accepts us warts and all, however we come, whatever shape and form, and he is doing you know, a great work in us, and that is just ongoing forever. That's never gonna, you know, run out or run dry. And yeah, I've learnt to really put my trust in him and to really love him, and that's just been so refreshing and uplifting and a real mainstay for me, and just now it's just so important in my life, I can't imagine not. So yeah.
All it took was one question. There we are. Come on then, Roxanne. I'm guessing I don't need to ask you questions, do I?
Okay. Life was a burden, and I was a burden, or that's what I thought. I live my life in fear of abuse, fear of men and women, of emotional and physical pain, fear of a relationship with my mother, fear of the loss of my children, fear of making mistakes. I was in a constant state of insecurity and fearfulness. Life felt like I'd been dropped into a vast ocean and I was just treading water, waiting to drown. As a child, I was in a Catholic school. This was my first experience of God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. When we prayed as a school in assembly and sang hymns, I felt the power in that. But somehow, even that young, life had already made me feel soiled and unworthy of God's love. He felt out of reach to me. When I went on to have my children, each time I was amazed at the instant love I had towards them. I'd look back at pregnancy and birth, at how much of a miracle it felt like. My God-given gifts, so precious. He must love me to give me these beautiful gifts, five times over. Life was still hard, but there was enough good that I carried on. I made wrong decisions. I let my children down at times. I've been desperate, oblivious, obnoxious, had low to no standards, no self-worth or respect, but something kept me going, like I still had something to do. I was in a psychiatric unit, trying to fight my way out of another all-consuming depression. I'd gone to the hospital chapel for some reason, and the priest gave me a Bible, and I began to read. Then an old friend who had been saved already reached out to me. We hadn't spoken in years, but she came back into my life. She persistently invited me to church. And it's been a year now. And with the encouragement of my friend and the River Church family, the whole way through, and Jesus, and being close to him through prayer and study, he has shown me that I am valuable. I am strong, but eternally stronger by his side. The void I once felt is no longer there. I am protected. I am safe. I have been able to break unhelpful cycles and grow in ways I never could without God. Through his will, I can continue to become the version of myself he made me to be. Through scripture, church, and prayer, he reveals what is good and wise. His word is full of promises that guide and light our way. It instructs us, it guides us, corrects us, and comforts us, if only we allow it to. I want to be baptized because I believe, love, and need Jesus. I want to see and feel how his love will continue to change and transform me and the world. I need to be a part of that. I want to be saved and share his message of love and forgiveness and inspire others to follow him. Amen.
Excuse.
I think it's just worth mentioning that, you know, these three people have gone on a journey with God, but they've not done it on their own. You know, I think for me, one of the things listening to those testimonies was there's been people from this church who have got involved in each other's lives and been there, shown Jesus' love. You know, that's a lot of the time how we experience God's love is through others showing us Jesus and being Jesus. And I just want to give a big round of applause to everyone in the church who's been there to support these three. Amen. I think it's fantastic.